It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Well, Sam, lights, camera, bitch, smile. We are live.
Ooh.
In a new era.
A new era, Rachel. Hi, first of all.
Hello. And welcome, Swiggies, new listeners. We are coming to you just a few days. This is a Monday afternoon, shortly after Torture Poets Department, Taylor Swift's 11th album was released on Thursday evening into very long into Friday morning.
I am deeply sleep deprived.
Okay.
I'm exhausted. I've really not had a good night's sleep since this album has come out. And that is all thanks to Taylor Swift. But
I know it's so rude.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I feel like the whole album was, like, even Midnights too is like, oh, you know, I don't sleep because, like, all these things have been keeping me up tortured. The girl is sleeping quite well now. Like, she has literally put holy words to paper, turned it into art, gave the manuscript to us, and it was like, good luck, guys. Have fun. I'm good. You get to process it now. And she's like, your term papers will be due at, you know, the end of the semester. So good luck. And so that's
yeah.
Where we
I've
are.
Been like wondering what has she been doing since she dropped this on. It was like it reminds me of that scene in Mean Girls when Regina George distributes the burn book everywhere, and then just kind of sits back and watches it all burn down. I feel like that's what Taylor Swift has done.
That's
to us.
That's exactly it.
Because she's not doing any interviews. Like normally, she would do like a talk show. And, you know, we would, like, see her during this, like, during, like, the press tour, basically, of an album. But we're not getting that.
No.
And so I feel like she is just, I'm sure she's on the internet. I mean.
Oh, she is.
She just did that to us. And we're going a little bit ballistic over here.
Yeah,
and she's
I
just
know.
Silent, you know.
Well, Sam, I wanted to just kind of first, like, just in case we have people landing on this, because I think the world is taken by storm. The world has been waiting for this album. Even, like, we've got major Swifties, lifetime Swifties, and we've had some casual new listeners in the world of Taylor Swift who had all eyes on this album with a lot of expectation of what it might be. Be about, okay? And so it might be that we've had people landing on our own page. And in general, this is the podcast where we typically choose a song, we break down that song, we pair a cocktail with that song, and we talk about all the ins and outs. With this particular episode, we're gonna just kind of walk you through our unhinged experience, as you've heard thus far. Maybe a little bit about, like, what were our initial thoughts going into it, maybe how those thoughts have shifted. But we won't necessarily be diving fully deep into each song because, for one thing, we can't quite grasp that. We still have a lot of research to do. But for two,
no way.
We like to do that individually with a song after and really go in depth. So that just kind of gives you a little...
Yes.
A little preview. That's just like the syllabi for this particular episode.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like I'm holding my little brother's hand walking through this because even looking at you on the screen, Sam, you still look tortured.
I am very tortured, Rachel, and I'm with you. Like, I just don't even really know how to start talking about it. I just want to point out, like you said, you know, this is a bit of a different type of episode than we're used to doing. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a cocktail in my hand. I have a cup of coffee because that is the most needed thing for me right now.
And I think that's what you did need.
We did talk about our initial, like before the album, our theories. And that was definitely some tea because we were definitely talking about the tea that we thought would be this album. And I think, Rachel, to start off with discussing, you know, our thoughts on the Tortured Poets Department, I just have to say, you overall, I was very wrong about the Tortured Poets Department. You know, it's...
Well, why... Okay, so I want to know why you think that. Like, why do you think that you were wrong? So what did you expect before?
Yeah.
And... In a quick synopsis, yeah, sure. What do you think you received?
So basically, I just assumed this album would be a breakup album where primarily the tracks would be about Joe and how he was a small man and how he kept her hostage, all of these things. That's kind of what I thought. And I did not at all consider the fact that Joe is actually so boring that he is not worthy. Not that he's not worthy, but he's not inspiring enough for Taylor to create an entire album of art to write about him. In art terms, he's not a muse. He was for a while. We have some incredible love songs about him, but at the breakup is not, it's not fodder for a drama for an album. And
That's interesting.
But something else is, and that is not really anything that I was prepared for, and that would be the story of Taylor's falling for Maddie Healy and her relationship with him and her relationship with us as her fans during that time. I did not expect to be called out so much in this album as her fan. And that's my biggest takeaway, Rachel, is I was surprised. There were things I didn't know naturally. And I am just surprised. I'm a little shook. I'm in awe of it all. And
I think you're accurate in saying we weren't prepared for this, except we missed so many signs, Sam. And I say that just quoting a Taylor Swift lyric, not that there were literal signs. I don't think we were as far off as you're describing. But I actually think we have received so much content about the breakdown of Joe and Taylor. And I think the truth is these are Taylor Swift stories. And we talked about that in the other episode of like, we really hoped that she would tell her story, right? And not like, I mean, there might've been like a little secret part of me that wanted to know like this secret deep terrible things that he did or that she did or anything more like specific. The thing is, we got an album about what Taylor Swift was experiencing following what we now think we know was already a breakup. Like the Midnights was the breakdown. We maybe even Folklore, maybe Evermore, maybe even all of Reputation of a Lover, that was the ups and downs of the relationship. And now we got the aftermath. And this album is the aftermath of what happens after a breakup. So a lot of people are saying like, oh, this whole album is actually about Maddie Healy. It's not about Maddie Healy. I mean, there are a lot of songs in that moment. It's also about Joe. It's how she was wrecked by a 6-year relationship with Joe, how she brought that person into a rebound relationship, And then also how feeling both of those things now on stage every night in front of her fans that are supposed to be loyal fans, and also maybe people who are new fans. Like this incredible rise of people now thinking they know her and maybe not, or thinking they know best for her and then not. And
yes, I agree that this album is not about Maddie. It's not about Joe. It has songs about them, but I think ultimately we should just say this album is about her and her experience in the last few years. Now that's a big question I have right now is she's told us that she's been working on this album for 2 years. So I have to naturally question the timeline and what was going on. So 2 years ago, you know, like she was still in a relationship with Joe, to our knowledge. I guess we don't know that for a fact, but
yeah, I think that 2 years ago was before
Midnights came out.
Yeah.
And it's confusing to me.
I think,
was she just writing a lot of songs and then about what she was going through and then kind of came up with Midnights and then maybe came up with Tortured Poets in her head, but categorized songs for Midnight. Like, I'm curious by that.
Here's my theory, Sam. This is what I've come around to. I think actually it started with a lot of the songs in the second half. I don't even mention so far in this, just in case you don't know what's going on in the world. Tortured Poets Department arrived to us with what we thought were 16 songs and soon to be 4 more bonus tracks. We got 16 songs, and then 2 hours later, we received 15 more songs. Okay, so it's the double album that we've always thought. It's insane. It's 100% insane. I actually think a lot of the songs, I do think there's like a good chunk of songs that are about her feelings about losing Joe. I think those might have been the ones that she wrote first. And I even think, and this is wild, but it only came from a brief comment on the Every Single Album episode when Nathan Hubbard said he thinks the Tortured Poets Department is actually about first Joe, then Maddie, and then Travis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So an idea I had then was like, wait, maybe she actually did write the Tortured Poets Department. She was playing with this idea because Joe is a guy that she wrote music with. Like they actually, I could see him having a typewriter in his apartment. And I am jumping ahead to that song, but we'll get there. But I feel like this concept, these ideas started as one thing, but then the breakup. And then the Maddie Healy of it all. And yes, maybe Maddie has been in and out of her life as a emotional affair.
I'm calling him a muse.
A muse. Yes. Yes. So like, I think he's been there, but I think the rise and fall of it all crashed against her depression, against I have to be on stage in front of everybody, against the media and the backlash. And then eventually against like, wait, who's this American football player guy? Like, I just feel like the album has maybe shifted a lot in the last 2 years.
Yeah, totally. I think so.
It's so interesting how she chose what songs then to ultimately put on the first half versus the second half.
Yeah. When you say first half and second half, do you mean the standard album and then the 2 a.m. edition or whatever we call it? The
anthology, I mean, A side, B side? I don't even know what to call it. Like, what would you...
Say that the bonus tracks, the anthology, I couldn't listen to that, starting with The Black Dog, until The Manuscript as an album. To me, that doesn't make sense in my head. I feel like it's not like a track 1 through 15 type of situation for me.
I 100% agree.
It's hard for me to view that second half of the album, the anthology, as its own.
Yeah. Well, and to me, it makes sense. Those songs are definitely, I mean, they're mostly Aaron Dessner. And they, so, like, that gives it a different feel, a different vibe, yeah, a different structure. I kind of wish they were intermixed with the other songs, because I actually like the chaoticness of the Red album that literally takes us up and down and up and down in emotion. I think I was intrigued by the order of chronological that we first identified. I don't know if the first part comes out chronological or not. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, yeah, I was going to talk about that. The album feels chronological in that we get a Travis song at the end of it. And
yes, that we get a Travis song immediately following a Maddie Healy song that basically says,
it's over. It's, I lost you.
I looked at every song for a majority of my first listen from the perspective of Joe. Like, I really thought they were just all about Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? Or did you pick up on Maddie Healy right away?
Oh, like, first listen? No, Rachel, I was not fathoming at all that these were not about Joe. I mean, it is kind of tough to remember and recall the details of first listen because it's just an overwhelming emotional experience and there's so much to process.
Totally.
And also it was really late into the evening. So all that to say, it's tough to recall, but I definitely was not thinking about Maddie Healy until I think I texted you. I was like, wait, is this about Maddie Healy? And it was not I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can, which is kind of the one song that we talked about could be about Maddie Healy. And I was like, wow, that would be really interesting if that song were about Maddie Healy. So that's all I was thinking about, was there could be a potential to have a song about Maddie Healy. I was not assuming that, you know, Fortnite or the I never imagined the Tortured Poets would be anybody about Joe, the song itself. So, and I don't know, maybe you think it is Joe. I'm not entirely sure what to think, but what were we talking about? Sorry, I'm overwhelmed.
So I guess I was saying, like, my first, well, okay, let's just start from the beginning now. We've, like, given our, like, wait, what is this album about? We're still kind of processing that. So
yeah.
I want to know, okay, so let's now, we're going to put ourselves into 11:59. No, it's Eastern time, which is 10:59 Central time at 9:59 your time. Okay, so this is where we are. Where were you listening? Tell me where you were listening, how you were listening.
So the setup. Okay, so I decided to go into my bedroom. It felt like a bedroom type of album. I knew I wanted headphones in, not a speaker. So
I'm sorry. I just paused. Funny that you said, like, this feels like a bedroom album. I don't know. That just, like, sounds very sexy. Like, you were waiting for some sexy. And there are some sexy songs, but there's just.
I mean, is it not? It is.
It is. It actually is a bedroom album, but I don't think I would have processed it. I mean, I guess the imagery is, like, to me, it looked like Taylor Swift is in the bedroom alone. But, like.
Yeah. So that's what I was channeling.
And you were like, if Taylor's alone in her bedroom, I'm going to join her.
This is not, it's when I say bedroom album, I do not mean a lovemaking album.
I know.
Not that type of bedroom experience. Yeah. But
this is a sad bed.
But more so just like being alone in your bedroom where you are in your safe space and you can be the most vulnerable version of yourself, essentially. And so that's what I did. And I lit some candles. I think you told me you had some candles lit. I thought that was a good idea. So I lit some candles. I went back and forth with, like, turning the overhead lights on and then off.
Yeah.
I wrote notes for every song and I needed to see what you were writing. But when the lights were on, it felt too bright.
Did you use a quill pen, a fountain pen, or a glitter gel pen?
Neither. I mean, I guess it was a fountain pen.
Okay.
Which feels right. I mean, let's talk about it. Is this a quill pen album? A fountain pen album? Glitter gel pen album. I'm gonna say fountain on this.
Oh, I think there's a lot of quill.
There's a lot of quill, but if I had to choose one, I think it's more fountain.
Started. I think it started in Fountain. I think the entire thing could have been from her diary. And then she brought in her, in her editing process, she brought in the quill pen, I think.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. So, yes, that was my setup. And I think I discussed this, but, you know, I made a mistake when Midnights, when I was waiting for Midnights, that's when I was on the East Coast, and so I had to wait until midnight. I didn't know what to do with my time, and so I just drank some wine. And by the time we got Midnights, at midnight, I was a little wine drunk, and it was really tough to really process that album. And I knew I didn't want to do that with Tortured Poets, so I drank nothing but water all day, and then I did buy myself a bottle of wine, and I poured my first glass and hit play. Yes. And that was my setup, Rachel. And I had my phone handy because we were sharing lots of thoughts with each other, weren't we?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody follows us on Instagram. If you don't, do. But you would have seen Rachel's setup. Yes. We shared a little picture of what her setup was. But why don't you explain, Rachel?
Yeah. So,
what your setup looked like.
I feel like my listening, it might add to my like now love and obsession of this album. Like, I think I'm always going to really cherish this one. People have stories of when other albums came out, and I don't have a lot of those stories because I've had to go back and re-listen to things because I'm a new Swiftie. But I knew from the beginning, like from the title of this album, The Torture Poets Department, that I really wanted to cherish this album because it sounded like something a writer would really love. Indeed it is. Luckily, Mike was not here. And that maybe sounds very mean, but I needed to be alone, as you said. Like, I just needed to be alone. Right. And yet, I wasn't alone, and that was also another beautiful thing. So, like, I needed the vibe around me to feel like I could literally get lost. I literally listened to headphones with my computer. I don't like handwriting, so that's not the writer I am. So I typed into my phone notes, but also I was texting with you. I was texting with my Swiftie friends, and I could just imagine all of us across the country just like with like listening in onto the same stories. And I love that. Like, it just feels so right. I also might want to say, leading up to it, because this is why I cracked up so hard in the song, The Torture Poets Department, was like, leading up to it, I was creating my cocktail that I was going to share the next day about the vibe of The Torture Poets Department. And I busted out my old typewriter and was putting in new ink, and I'd never used ink in this typewriter. It was only for looks, and I was like, I'm gonna use the ink in here. So who uses typewriters anyway? Well, apparently it was me. And so I just like that was my pre-vibe. I also had a glass of wine. I didn't drink anything until that moment. It was just quiet and dark and ripe for diving in. Then we press play. We got Fortnite. What were your first thoughts right away? Like, what did you think? What were you feeling?
I right before the album dropped, I had looked at her Instagram and saw that she posted.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Like clips of the music video that was soon to be released, and there was music playing, and I thought it was Fortnite. Now that I come to think of it, what was the music in the back? And I immediately was like, crap, because I didn't want to hear the song before I was listening to the song. So going into the first listen, and that's what I was most excited about was, what is it going to sound like? That's another thing that surprised me, Rachel.
Yes.
So, and because I had like accidentally seen this post and assumed that was Fortnite, and I was hearing these like loud noises in the post, it's like Florida. I think it's Florida.
Oh, it's Florida.
It's Florida. So
yeah, I get the Sounds of Florida and Who's Afraid kind of mixed up because they have that, like, you know, mm-hmm. kind of evil sound to them.
So I felt like I was already spoiled by, or I had Fortnite spoiled for me. And so I was kind of sad about that. And I hit play and it was different. I did not expect it. Oh, and it was
different. Yeah.
Because I was hearing Florida in that Instagram post and thinking that that was Fortnite. So, yeah. And, I guess what, you know, we didn't know if this, I guess we had seen that Jack Antonoff was the co-writer on all these, not all of them, sorry, but a lot of the songs. So, you know, we kind of had assumed, I don't think at the time of recording our initial theories, Rachel, that episode, I don't think we had known who the co-writers were.
We did not know.
Or who was writers. Working on it.
Actually, I think we were even suspecting, we were hoping for different producers. And we didn't get it.
Sorry, I'm fathoming. I wish one thing to be different about this
okay,
album.
What is
and,
it?
And
yeah.
I feel like I wanted her to take more of a risk than what she did, specifically with the production of the album.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not unique. I just feel like I was really excited to hear something different. It is different, but I really wanted more difference. And I feel bad saying that because I don't want her, not that she's going to hear this.
Are,
hi, Taylor. I'm
you
sorry.
You are the crowd shouting more.
I mean, it's truly a masterpiece. The album is a masterpiece, but like, I'm just still waiting for something different. I don't know. Yep. I don't know.
I think that is fair. I certainly think you are not alone. And also, she couldn't do it. Like, these are the most vulnerable songs that she... this was yes. a scary place. These were scary, scary yeah. thoughts. She needed the circle of friends. And she yes. needed to close this chapter. She, I really feel like exactly what she said this was. She was like, I think she was really intentional of being like, I need more than any songs ever. I needed to get these out. And she's basically saying, you might not get it and you might not love it. And I don't really care because this was yeah. what I needed to do. I needed to bring in the same sounds. I needed to bring in the same people. I needed them to help get me through the end of my Joe chapter. This wild and crazy, like, I still feel like even if it's Maddie Healy, it was still about Joe because it was about who she was experiencing during, you know, the processing of it all. She needed that. That being said, I really am excited for a new, I want a new era, and I feel guilty for saying that because it's
I
me
know, I feel,
again.
I feel guilty to sin, but
it's
what I want. We're allowed to want things. Yeah. But I think that's a really good point, Rachel, is that she needed to be with Jack and Aaron because she can be who she is in front of them. And these are truly the most vulnerable. well, the last few albums have been her.
You know, I'm thinking of now, like, vulnerable. I'm only me when I'm with you. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Like she, you're right. She needed to be herself in getting these words yes. out or they wouldn't have come out.
So I needed to get that off my chest. Lyrically, I think this is her finest work she's ever done lyrically. I think she was poetic and she used a lot of big words, but without trying to, it felt very natural. It didn't feel pretentious. I think that the words that she chose to use and the phrasing are so beautiful. And that's one thing that we definitely expected from the album, was that she would be giving us some poetry. And
she did.
Delivered. She served that up
you
on
know,
a silver platter.
I really started to recognize, I actually don't think she even gave us very many big words. She just gave us very unique words. I saw a really interesting There's someone on Instagram, and we'll share it. I think it's Head First Fearless is her, but she does all of these like breakdowns and
spreadsheets.
Yeah, and graphs and stuff. And she had this one all about like unique words. And I think that's what's interesting. Like, a unique word doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, I've never heard that word before. A unique word means like, wait, she just put Charlie Puth in a song? Like, wait, Blue Nile? Wait, what? Like, there's just so many really wild, specific, interesting references that make you go, wait, huh? I feel like that is the initial first vibe of listening to the words in a close listen is like, wait, huh? And as someone who when you study poetry, I think that's why so many people say, like, I don't really get poetry, because it's really complicated. Or not complicated meaning, like, wait, what? It's just like you don't get what they're saying right away, and they often will use shocking combinations of words, like Charlie Puth and a bunch of chocolate, like in the same. I'm using all these things from Torture Poets Department, but like, because I felt like that one had the weirdest words.
And you know, another thing about poetry is it's abstract. It doesn't make linear sense. It's not so literal. And that I can struggle with when we break down lyrics of her songs. I struggle with allowing the abstract to exist in her songs. And I want to fully try to understand every single line that she gives us. But this album has allowed me to think differently and just sort of allow an abstract idea to exist without needing to understand what it is exactly trying to mean. And I have a specific example for that when we discuss Fresh Out the Slammer.
Okay, perfect.
I'm just going to hold that thought for now. But that was a big takeaway for me listening to this album. I know we started talking about Fortnite and we never really got into it, but there's just so many thoughts, overall thoughts that I'm still trying to have.
Well, but I think it's important because to talk about the overall thoughts with the first track, because that's the one that leads us in to the album. And she intentionally chose that song. I'm not yet ready to talk about why. I feel like this is when, and I didn't get this right away, but I think this is her letting us know that this is going to be about, this is going to be complex. This is going to be about someone else you don't maybe know. It's you weren't fathoming that it was Maddie Healy. And this album is going to be about the move on. This is going to be about this period, this very short period, I think. At least the first chunk of it, I think. Is definitely a short period of time.
You could say it's a fortnight. To represent the short length of time, you know, a fortnight. We're not going to go fully into it until we.
I know. I want to. But this would be a 15-hour podcast if we did. So, did you like Post? Did you like Posty in this song?
I'm eating a pickle, so. I know you don't like it when I eat and pop.
Okay, then I will tell you how I feel about Posty.
Go ahead.
I really don't like eating. You're right. I'm going to talk over you so I don't hear you. Loved him. I thought it was just the right amount. Okay. And I mean,
I could always use more Post. But I'm not critical of it. I thought I liked his involvement for sure. But I could always use more Post.
Mm-hmm. We also got a music video for this.
Oh my God, yes. And I need to like,
which I think
I've watched it
a little bit more even to understand it.
I need to rewatch it. I watched it once and fathom it and I need to rewatch it.
Oh yeah. I've watched it a few times because each of my kids wanted to see it. So I feel like I've watched it a few times. And a music video has always really helped me. Like, I love that. I have to say though, the first thing, and I think I texted you this maybe was, okay, wait, husband? Like, I just, it was so hard to hear that we didn't have the lyrics. You pulled it up on Genius, the lyrics, while you were listening. And I think that was smart, but I didn't right away. And all I heard was husband. And the first thing I thought of was like, I mean, I was so prepared to get tea on Joe and Taylor that I was like, oh my God, they right? were married. They were secretly married.
I thought the same. Yeah.
And he had an affair with the neighbor. Like this, oh my gosh, we got the tea. Like right off the bat.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was so confused by what the hell she was singing about. And like, she wanted to kill her and like, what?
Yes.
Yeah, we were getting the tea that we thought, but we weren't really getting the tea. But yeah, those are thoughts that what I wrote down, for my notes when I was listening to it was confused, not what I expected, .. Florida ? Alcoholic ? Those are the notes that I wrote for Fortnite.
Yes. Florida. The Florida note was so interesting too, because we know we have a song about Florida. So you're like, wait, she's already talking about Florida. Like Florida's a big deal. So I'm thinking, okay, Joe had an affair in Florida. Like, he bought a house in Florida, like something happened in Florida.
Yeah. But we'll get into that when we discuss Fortnite on an actual episode.
Yep, we will.
Should we just keep moving on?
Let's just keep moving on. Okay, so now we get the title track. I hung all of my hats on this song. I was so excited for this song. Yeah.
Again, it did not sound like what I was expecting. It was more upbeat. It has like an 80s synth beat to it.
The Breakfast Club. Like I was just like suddenly like this feels like a Breakfast Club. And maybe that's the Tortured Poets Department. Like, I don't know. Something about that was giving me Breakfast Club. And I liked it. I loved the sound. And then I was like, wait, what is the song about? Oh well, I'll figure it out later. I'm sure it's great. I'm like, oh my God. She married Joe with paper rings. Like, they didn't actually get married, but they pretended to get married, and they decided that was basically as good as marriage. I was all over the place. I was all over the place.
Same. I think of all the songs on the album that I know for a fact I need to really kind of analyze. It's the Tortured Poets Department. Mm-hmm. I really need to go back to that one specifically and study it. Because I think I have a lot of questions about it, and I have no answers yet. I, to be honest, all of these songs, I've probably listened to the album, I'm going to say 5 or 6 times at this point.
Yep.
Same. Probably more. I don't
know. Maybe more, depending on.
And I'm still, I still really haven't, I like to use the word fathomed, the songs yet. I mean, I have definitely taken in the lyrics and had some thoughts, but I haven't really. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And that's beautiful.
These songs yet. And I think the Tortured Poets Department, that song specifically, I am most intrigued to kind of dive deeper into. So,
yeah, I
want to say that.
I think that's the one that I felt the most betrayed. Like, when I said I went through all the 5 stages of grief, I don't mean, like, I'm grieving this whole album. I just meant, like, there were a lot of stages of, like, how I felt. So, first I was like, oh, denial, this song is about Joe. And then...
right.
And then when people started saying it was about Maddie Healy, I was, like, angry. Like, that was my first gut. I was, like, so annoyed by people kept talking about all these songs are about Maddie Healy. I was like, no, they're not. Like, stop it. No, Maddie Healy is done.
Same.
Like, maybe he got a song. I don't know. But no, we're done with Maddie. And then, like, it kept coming, and I was like, oh, my God. Why are all these songs about Maddie Healy? And then I was, like, really sad. I was like, this is ruining it for me. And then I was like, no, acceptance. And I feel like I've come around, and I think all of that mostly centered on this one song because I was really wanting it to be what I wanted it to be, which was like an anthem for writers or whatever. Yeah. And I think what I truthfully came around to was like that this was part of her, like this is an important period of time. This is an important thing to talk about. What happens when you've been wrecked and then you have someone who has always been around and is a lot like you and is very tortured like you. And how do you process this through words? And that makes you kind of unique. And anyway, Okay, we need to fathom this song. That is a lot of words. I just have to say that no fucking body is one of my new favorite phrases.
You better be careful using that phrase.
I will be using that all the time. Yeah, it is really catchy. There were so many F-bombs on this album. Again, I think it's why I loved it so much. I really like that. I really like the F.
Yeah, but I liked the usage of the F-bomb in this album more so than in Midnight's.
Yes!
Midnight's felt forced. Like she wanted to use the F-bomb just for the sake of having a little bit edge.
A little edge. 100%.
And this felt so much more natural.
This is me hanging out with my friends and being like, fucking body gets me, or later on.
So that's the Tortured Poets Department. That's the title track. And that was the moment that I really kind of accepted that this was going to be more of a pop album than I was expecting, you know? Because Fortnite, the sound of it is beat-y, but not super poppy. Do you know what I mean? But then the Tortured Poets Department is definitely more poppy and synthy. That's when I was like, yeah, we're gonna maybe probably stick with that for the majority of the album. And I think we do. Deep song. Let's move on to track three. My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. I remember just being so intrigued about, you know, this was, you know, a funny title. And so what are we going to get? Initial thoughts, Rachel.
I think we got what we thought we might get. I feel like we said, like, this is going to be sort of about, like, how Joe, if this is going to be about Joe maybe, like, needing her, like, liking her broken or trying to fix her and, like, having her and then, like, throwing her away.
Yeah. I think we fathomed that, yeah.
I think we fathomed that. I think we got it.
This song is really fun to listen to.
It is.
I don't think it's near my favorite. I actually, Rachel, if you'll allow me to ask you this question right now.
Okay.
Ooh. I kind of want to do this now. Do you have one favorite song? Like, I'm a type of person that I love to ask, hey, what's your favorite movie? Who's your favorite artist? What's your favorite song? I like to have and identify what a favorite is. So if that's not your style, I understand it's really hard. You probably have a top five maybe, but I don't want to hear your top five. I do am so curious if you have just one, and that's okay if it changes. Like maybe it's just for right now what your favorite one is.
No, my gut reaction to many people have been asking me this weekend.
Yeah.
And I have come around every single time I say I can do it with a broken heart.
Okay. All right.
Every single time. And I'm going to tell you, maybe I'll tell you why when we're there.
Sure. That's why I wanted to ask this first, because I didn't want there to be a big surprise or anything. But
no.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with that. But I made a list. Like somebody was like, what's your favorite? I was like, well, this one. And then I was like, and a friend was like, well, what other ones would you go to? And then I made a list and I had 16 on the list.
That's the thing, Rachel. This is a no skip album for me. There's literally not a single song.
I could give you maybe two or three.
I'm still going to listen. I'm not ready to skip it yet. Maybe in a month's time. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I'm still listening to all of them.
Yeah. So
now, what about you? You haven't told me your favorite.
I think my favorite is Clara Bow, to be quite honest with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why that shocks me.
It shocks me.
Interesting.
So much, Rachel. And
one didn't even make my top 16.
Shut up about that.
I love it. I love it.
I think I feel that way about Clara Bow because it was the one song that made me actually tear up. Now I know you have no problem crying.
I don't.
It takes me more to cry when listening to music. I will cry at a movie, but music doesn't typically extract that response from me. But Clara Bow did. So that's my initial.
I love that.
that's my initial, like, that's, I guess that's my favorite song, because I think I felt something deep when I heard that song. So now we got that out of our chest.
Phew. Where are we?
Yeah.
Down bad.
We're on track four.
Okay.
Down bad. Oh my god.
Okay, close second maybe song. For so me. Much. Like
very, very close second. My number two fluctuates between about five songs.
Yeah, it does. It's a tie.
For sure.
Depending on what mood I'm in.
Down bad. I mean, the production on this one, bravo, oh. Jack Antonoff. You did something with this song. You tickled my brain. You scratched yeah. something that I didn't even know was itchy. And I thank you, Jack Antonoff, well, so I think very much.
It does sound different, and you were wanting something different. I feel like this one does. But I also feel like this was the one that reminded me the most of Reputation.
Maybe that's why I like it.
I think it is.
I didn't think that it reminded me of Reputation, but I mean, maybe I'll think of it differently now. This song, without going into too much detail, hit me hard. It like offended me, because I feel like when she says fuck you if I can't have us, I feel like she's talking to me, to us, and that hurts me a lot. And that this is one example of a few on this album songs that I feel like she's expressing some frustration and anger, not just frustration, with her fans. And this one, I feel it. But that's all I'll say about it for now.
Yeah. This was the one where I was like, I could see her, like, in a gym crying. And maybe that's because I've been in a gym crying before. I've been on a run. I cry a lot on runs, all the time. So.
Wow, interesting.
And not because of the exercise, but just because of the emotion. Like, exercise brings that emotion and oh, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, that. Fuck It, I Was in Love is so good. so good.
Yeah, so good. Oh my god.
All right. I mean, we've moved on to track five. Oh my god. This so song is ended. So this, good. This one's,
yeah, it's again not what I expected. sonically, definitely not what I expected. I should also say this is another one I really need to understand better than I currently do. She sounds like Lana Del Rey in this song, I gotta say. That was
so
one of the things
much.
I liked.
Yeah. I got a lot of Lana. A lot of Lana.
Yeah.
In this whole album. But yet her voice is really rich and deep and scratchy, which actually I think that's interesting. I'm imagining she recorded it whilst in the middle of the Eras tour when her voice was scratchy, probably from singing so much. But it really added to it.
Totally.
I think I was wrecked listening. I was really wrecked listening to this. How much sad. I mean, that just like got me. I have so many thoughts, but I think I need to save it for a refathoming. But I have a really interesting metaphor that I'm visually seeing in the music and the sound. And I'm excited to talk about that. But those It just was good. Like the church bell sound or like the like choirish thing at the very beginning. It was like, oh my gosh, yes, you have landed us. This song really hit exactly what I wanted it to do. Like it really got me.
That's great. That is great. I don't know, Rachel. I don't think it's the most vulnerable song on the album, in my personal opinion. And that has me questioning if Taylor's sort of maybe done with the whole track five thing.
Yeah, it's definitely not the most vulnerable, but I think there was an intentionality in choosing it. To me, actually, there was a lot of power in this song.
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah, it's like, it's a pissed off song, I would say.
Well, she literally says, I'm pissed off.
Right.
And but it was there was finality.
We did kind of correctly predict that there would be a moment when she was saying it was so long, London, and I think we kind of even laughed about
that.
But she
look at us.
She does say that. She says it was so long, London.
Yes, I love that lyric.
Chorus, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to But Daddy, I Love Him.
I love him.
Rachel, I'm having a baby. No, I'm not. But you should see your face. This song is like the most serious and unserious song she's ever. I think she had a lot of fun.
This one with is this a one. Blast. This one hurts a little.
It definitely hurts. Yep. Again, I feel called out and sorry about that.
It definitely hurts a little bit. I totally. This, I think, was when I was like, oh, Maddie Healy. I was like, it was just, think it was the bitchin' and moanin' part. Like, it's so brilliant. But I actually, the first thing I thought was like, wait, is she just deconstructing religion? Like, I'm so confused.
Perhaps. We have lots of fathomings to do on all of these songs, that one in particular.
Oh, so much.
But definitely got to say, it's one of the most fun songs
I've ever heard. So fun.
Yeah.
I will scream this with the windows rolled down. Like, so loving this song.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Kind of which makes me want to wear dresses just so I could run like unbuttoned and sing this song to it. Nothing's stopping me from doing that, everybody. I mean,
do it with your shirts, okay?
I will definitely do it with my shirts unbuttoned.
Run with your shirt unbuttoned, okay?
Maybe with the vest I made for Beyonce concert with like the puffy frills and the sequins on it.
Yes.
I could see myself running with that unbuttoned. Mainly because it doesn't fit.
I mean, I too need more dresses that are unbuttoned.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, but yes, we did get called out a little bit. Okay, Rachel, track 8 is...
Okay.
I'm calling it FOTS, FOTS. Thoughts fresh Thoughts. Out the slammer. Yeah. And we were wrong about this one, weren't we?
We were wrong. I think you and I were both like, I literally texted you, what just happened in that song?
The intro, like, definitely the overall.
Yes.
But I think the intro, you and I were both like, wait, what? Because that intro.
And I think we were both like close listening to this one because we chose to do this one first off, sight unseen, whatever the opposite, hearing unheard.
Right.
I don't know. Heard unheard, whatever. Song unheard. That's what it is. Song unheard. And I think we were just surprised because it wasn't what we thought. I don't want to get into too many details because we are doing this for a very upcoming episode.
Yes.
So, Swiggies, stay tuned for that one and all of our thoughts. And I'm excited, Sam, to talk about it with you because I have come around to it after that first shock of like, well, this is not what I thought.
You know, I think this one was the biggest grower for me.
Yes,
and agreed. It has grown, let me tell you. And I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm, but initial reaction, I was like, oh, okay, not at all what I was expecting. And what have I done here? But now I gotta say I'm very, very, very excited to get into it with you on an upcoming episode.
This is when you said in our text chain, Rachel, what have we gotten ourselves into?
Right. I definitely.
We know we had so much more ahead.
Seriously. Speaking of ahead, actually, I think I said that was track 8, but it was actually track 7. Track 8 is Florida.
Florida.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, those
boom,
exclamation
boom.
Marks were quite accurate.
Very much accurate. And, you know, we were actually kind of accurate. You specifically said this was giving girl trip vibes. And that's kind of what you delivered.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I definitely get
like the, you know, overall the concept is like going to a place that makes you, you know, forget about your depression essentially. And fuck me up, Florida is the place. And that's kind of what you talked about. You're like, well, I went on a girls trip to Florida when we just needed to get away. And that's kind of, what's going on there.
I'm feeling like this must have been when she first rekindled like with Maddie Healy.
Yeah.
Do you think? Like,
sure. Yeah.
I'm this is my guess and it doesn't matter. Who cares? Why do we need to know? I don't know. We don't need to know. But I'm curious. Also the line, is that a bad thing to say in a song, is just so great. It's just so great.
I love Florence's involvement. I think this
Florence
is one of
is
my
so
favorite
good.
Collabs that we have.
Yeah.
And I mean, Florence's voice is so powerful. It fits really well with the song. Taylor gave her the right amount of space, and it's just incredible energy, this one.
It was great.
You know, not in like a pop girl anthem type way.
Okay.
Guilty as Sin, Rachel.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. You were right about this one, too. You know, you were definitely fathoming that you said media. You said Guilty as Sin is her take on.
But I don't think this is about media.
What's your definition of media, then?
See, I think this song is about feeling guilty in her relationship with Joe that she had an emotional affair with Maddie Healy. And that's what she's talking, like, am I guilty too? That's why I feel like this is like, I think he might have had an affair and she's now feeling like, wait, am I also having an emotional affair? Is that just as guilt? Am I just as guilty?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought that there was like a headline at one point that literally said Guilty as Sin in reference to her dating Maddie Healy. So I guess I thought that she was using that.
Yeah.
But
it could be. Yeah. It definitely could be. But I think the song itself was about like emotionally cheating or like emotionally getting into a relationship, even if it's all like, is it wrong?
It is. It is about that.
This, it is even if it's that. All in my head. Yes.
No, I shouldn't say it's about the media, but it has ties to.
It has ties to that. Yes.
We were saying about it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we were close.
So in that sense, you were very close. This is definitely one of my top twos. Like, what was I saying? Second favorites. This is one of my
second favorite. Yeah.
I think it's one of the best songs she's ever written.
I have really had such an interesting battle with Maddie Healy and that relationship. And I really come around to how I feel about it. And I feel much better about it. But at first I was just like, oh, I don't want to think about why are you going back there?
I know how you feel, Rachel. I think that's another reason why we were in kind of a denial about a lot of the songs being about Maddie Healy. Cause I didn't think he's a shitty person. Maybe that's unfair for me to say, but what I've seen of his actions, I think constitute as shitty behavior. And I'm like, oh man, he doesn't deserve to be the muse of Taylor Swift. But I mean, that's actually the whole point.
And we're going to get there. But like, it doesn't matter if he was good or bad. He was in her life.
Right.
Of course Taylor deserves to have a Maddie Healy. Like, she deserves to have this wild boy thing that she always wondered about. And we're about to get into more of what happened in that relationship. Who's afraid of little old me?
Oof.
I don't know. Who is?
I am now. Definitely a little frightened of you, Taylor Swift. And I should be. And she said it. My jaw dropped during a certain moment of this song. And Rachel, I'm just going to go ahead and say, if I have one favorite line of the entire album, it comes from this song.
And what is it?
And I don't think I want to share that with you right now. So
I want to know if it's my favorite line
of the entire album comes from this one. So that's great.
Okay. The scream. This is Caroline's favorite, by the way. This has remained her favorite from the very beginning. Okay. It's so fun. It's a great one. Maybe fun's not the word.
Fun is not how I would use
it. I like it. I love a screaming album. I really do.
Yep. I guess the scream moment is kind of fun. Mm. But it's fun to me as like, this is great and fun. And it's like, this song makes me feel things that I didn't want to feel. So okay. To me, that's not fun.
Let's keep moving on. I can fix him. No, really, I can.
Yeah. We have yet to discuss how the production of this, like at least three of the songs in this album are very much giving Wild Wild West.
Yeah, I was saving that comment.
Not anything we had on our bingo cards.
No, I actually have a lot of thoughts about that I just fathomed. Breaking news. And so I want to bring it to the Fresh Out the Slammer podcast because that's our first, like conversation about this. So yes, this is another song that gives us that Wild West vibe, and it's so interesting.
We were all very excited to hear this song for the first time.
Yeah.
And it didn't disappoint. It doesn't come across any of my top favorites, but I respect it. I really do.
I think this is going to be the point in which I start fading, and we're not even close to being done. But I think in this one, it was like it was a big turn for me from Who's Afraid of the Little Me, and so I was a little bit shook and like unable to kind of process it. So I understand it a little bit more, and I really, really, really love how it ended, because I feel like that was like such a great, like if we call these chapters, that was like a cliffhanger and a chapter of like, maybe I can't, is how she ends that song. And that's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And she kind of sets us up. What does she set us up for, Sam? Well, I don't know.
to get wrecked.
Yeah.
Because the next song is the one that wrecks me the most.
10 milliliters is coming up. 10
milliliters, Rachel. LOML. And in our fathoming pre-listen, I admitted that this song was the least interesting for me before I had heard it. And that has changed. I was wrong about that. It is one of the most intriguing songs for me on the album. Yeah, you kind of called it by saying maybe she's going to switch it up. We were like, maybe there's going to be a play off of LOML. Like, it might not just mean Love of My Life. And we were kind of right on that. So
we got it right at the end.
We got a little
twist.
And
I can't take credit for that first fathoming of that. I feel like that was all over the internet.
Over the internet. Okay. But either way, yeah, it was – it's good. This one's good. It does wreck me for sure.
It's – well, and – it was so interesting because I actually think that's such a powerful way of moving us into the next song. This was the point where I really, really sobbed. Like you hear the heartbreak in her voice,
yeah,
right away.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot.
The piano, like, it was so great to get piano. I wanted that. I thought I was going to get more of that in this album. So we got that. Like, it was like, there's just so many words, and I knew I need to fathom this, but I was just like so sad. I couldn't understand it. So.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad that this song exists on the album, because we were expecting more of this vibe. And if this song wasn't on the album, then I would be like, I just don't know anything anymore. But
yes,
this song exists to kind of validate our expectations. And
yeah,
I'm happy for that.
I agree.
Okay, Rachel.
All right. So we're crying. Yeah. We're so sad. And then she drops like my whole spirit, my whole mood, my aesthetic, whatever the kids are saying these days, I can do it with a broken heart. This song saved me, Sam.
Sure.
This song is okay, Sam, there's a line in it where she says, I can read your mind. You're saying she's having the time of her life. Sam, you and I, literally, while we were like commenting on her at the Eras Tour, have said that exact line. She's having the time of her life. Look how happy she is. She's so happy. It's like it's her birthday every day. Look at her.
Yeah, there was more to it. And I think we've always just kind of assumed that. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say we. I've just always assumed that there's no way she could just get over a loss of 6 years that easy.
No.
But then she did something, and this is my number one, like, if I could ask Taylor something right now, I want to ask her if she was being honest with us when she said, I think it was maybe in New York or Boston. It was one of those shows in like early summer, May.
Yes.
And she said that she was the happiest she's ever been in her life. And that is always in the back of my mind when I listen to this song, because she's telling us that that's not exactly what was going on. So I'm confused, Rachel. The song confuses me when I think about how was she really feeling. I'm not surprised that, she was like putting on a show when secretly she was upset and depressed. Like, that makes total sense. But yeah.
So when I'm listening to this song now, I am dancing. I am moving. I am also crying. Like, I have yet to listen to the song without crying. I cry every single time. And I think the emotion that I'm feeling is familiarity, because I feel like this is exactly who I am as a person. I am a very depressed person. Like, or if there's anything I suffer from in my mental health, it's depression. I'm not a very depressed person. I have been. I think in the last year, I have been the most depressed I've been in a while, just with all of the changes that have gone through my life, the changes with my kids, having to deal with it, a change of my life. I don't know who I am. Okay, that sounds super dramatic, and yet it feels real and relatable to me. It's just how I process things. And I also am one who is okay with lights, camera, bitch, smile. Like, I do that, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that's why I love this song. I've come around to, like, sometimes you do fake it till you make it. Sometimes you do just, like, put on a smile, get through the song, and then crumple onto the floor. And it's so hard and sad and yet so relatable. And I realized, like, that's actually why I like this entire album. You said there was a lot more pop on this album than you expected for what you thought was going to be a super sad album. And I think that's what feels so good to me, is we have I just, like, being able to sway and move and feel sad at the same time. It's just, like, so good to me.
Yeah.
It feels good in my body. And that's what I love about this song. And I think that's what she's saying too. Like,
totally, literally. I mean, she is. And I've come around, because this was another song that I thought that she was, like, mad at us, her fans. But I've come around and kind of reframed that and thinking that she's not mad at us for chanting more. I mean, it's like, that's her job. And I think she understands why we chant more, because, you know, we love her. But
because she's a guiding light. She shines
so bright, Rachel. And so for a while, I was like, gosh, dang, she really hates us. But I've changed my mind on that, and I'm glad. Definitely a top song in the album for sure. I mean, I remember my reaction. Like, I couldn't, I was just shooketh when, like, the chorus and the post-chorus come in. And yeah, I think I texted you like a string of letters, all caps, because that was all I could get out. It was an exciting moment.
It was the moment. Needed. Like, we got 10 milliliters. And I'm always going to call it that, by the way. I'm always
going to call it that.
Because Lommel is too hard to say and weird. And Love of My Life is also long. And it's also Loss of My Life. So that's kind of weird. Okay.
The smallest man who ever lived.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I said, I don't know what just happened there. This poor man. And again, I'm pretty sure in that moment, I thought this was about Joe.
I did too.
I think I still thought it was about Joe. I
thought this was about Joe, and now I'm not sure if it is. I don't think that.
I mean, I think it's clearly not about Joe.
Right. Yeah.
I think what I realized coming around is I am very grateful that this song is on the album. It is not a top favorite for me, but the way it closed It closed a story for me, and I think it closed it for her too. I mean, maybe this. She never ever closes a story. It's always there.
True.
But I felt like for this album, this was when she says, I mean, I feel like this is when she's like, yeah, Maddie Healy, the stories of Maddie Healy are done here.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously this is a moment where we really can understand how she was feeling. And, you know, it's one of those moments that Taylor gives us where she's just being so honest and open. And like we're fortunate, I guess, that she's feels so comfortable putting this in the world for everybody to hear. Maybe she doesn't feel comfortable doing it, but she needs to do it. I don't know. But yeah, this is a very, very, very vulnerable moment for me. And I thank her for that because it just reminds me of the power of her. And I love that. So yeah, I'm literally not very articulate right now because it's just a lot to process. So that's...
It really reflects, yeah. I mean, it really reflects where we were in the evening. And we were, again, we were not even halfway through. We were not even halfway through. We just didn't know it. Let's take us somewhere fun, Sam. Let's go to the next chapter with the alchemy.
Yes, yes.
This is a song we did not see coming.
Nope.
This is a song we did not see coming.
Also, didn't fathom it in the moment either. It was the next day. No, I was like,
absolutely
wait
not.
A minute.
Nope. I think it took a really long time to get into it until I was like, I texted you, wait, is this a Travi song?
Right.
And you said, I don't know, I'm so confused. And it's so funny how we both just kind of like let that slide. We were like, trophy, but he's running to me, touchdown, bench. No, this is not about Travis. We were so delirious and also maybe not trusting anything we were hearing.
I didn't trust a damn thing. I still don't.
So we did it. I did not fathom it until the next day. Now, as I listen to it, I'm like, oh my God, did she write this with ChatGPT? Like,
well, it really resembles that one ChatGPT song that everybody was using to laugh about what will the next or the first Travis Kelce song sound like? And it was that one. You've quoted it, and it's just a ChatGPT song. With
Travi, I made it to the big game. So happy that my Travi made it to the big game. Something about now Kelce's gonna be my last name. And then we laughed.
And honestly, the alchemy kind of sounds exactly like that. So when I touch down,
call the amateurs and cut them from the team. Yeah. Although I had another thought, and this is where I said I feel like maybe she did the albums. Like, if you listen to the first part of it, like maybe the alchemy had a whole different idea and concept, and then she just like shoved in some football words to make it about Travis. Like,
I don't know.
I even wondered, did she write this when she was quote unquote happiest she's ever been with Maddie Healy and the tiny, tiny fortnight that it was good? And then it like all fell apart and she still had the words. And so she like twisted it to actually be about Travis.
Do you think Taylor would do that? Do you think she would write a song that has a meaning and then change that meaning? I don't know. Yeah. She's just so intentional with her songs, I feel.
Yeah. I also think she's constantly writing. Yeah. So I think she might have had this idea about like, because the, okay, this is getting way into the song. We'll get into it later, but that's my curiosity. Put a pin in that until we pick the alchemy. Sam, we're going to have to, we have so many songs to talk about.
I know.
And also we're going to be podcasting for the rest of our lives.
We really, really will be. It's true. But let's talk about the album closer, I consider it the closer. I know that it's just like a chapter closer, kind of, because then we have another second half. But just for the standard album, that the closer is Clara Bow. And I've told you that this is my favorite. I love the sound of it. I love, love, love the Taylor Twist in the song.
It's really good.
And that's, you know, kind of what made me tear up when I first heard it. Just want to say, Rachel, you kind of got your Stevie Nicks moment.
I think this is why I didn't even catch the last part with Taylor Swift when she talks about Taylor Swift, because I flipped my flip. I flipped my flip when she said Stevie Nicks in the damn song, and I called. I wanted a Stevie Nicks vibe, and I know it doesn't sound like Stevie Nicks, but this whole album does feel like Stevie Nicks. I'm just gonna say that, and maybe that's just me reaching.
It's a great way to end the album.
It was great,
really great. But I mean, I deeply want to go more into it, but I just am not allowed to do that right now, am I? I think for now, that's all I want to really talk about.
Yeah, I think that's all we can talk about, Sam.
As far as the songs go.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to need to get, I want to get some gut reactions for the second half. But I think that for the sake of this podcast that has been recording for a very long time, we're going to end it here.
I know.
And...
Well, we're not going to necessarily end it here because I have a couple things I want to say.
Give me a few more thoughts. Yeah.
Right now. So I'm really intrigued. When the album came out, she posted on her Instagram and she gave us a little paragraph about the album. And I'm really intrigued by it.
We haven't even talked about that.
She says, "The Tortured Poets Department, an anthology of new works that reflect events, opinions, and sentiments from a fleeting and fatalistic moment in time, one that was both sensational and sorrowful in equal measure." Mm. Again, I thought this was about, she was talking about her relationship with Joe, and maybe a part of it is, but she goes on to say, "This period of the author's life is now over, the chapter closed and boarded up.
Yeah.
There is nothing to avenge, no scores to settle once wounds have healed. And upon further reflection, a good number of them turned out to be self-inflicted."
Yes.
"This writer is of the firm belief that our tears become holy in the form of ink on a page. Once we have spoken our saddest story, we can be free of it." Wow. Wow.
This wrecked
And then
me.
All that's left behind is the tortured poetry. Yeah. Is how she ends it.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was stunning. A stunning introduction for me.
Mm-hmm. I also find it really interesting that she says that it's an anthology of new works that reflect events, opinions, and sentiments. The opinions is really intriguing to me.
Yes.
I'm curious as to why she views these songs as opinions. That's just one thing that I'm going to be thinking about as I continue to listen to this album, which to me is one of her best works. Whether it's my favorite or it's not, I think objectively speaking, it is one of her finest works. The critics are reviewing it and giving it very positive reviews as well. Obviously, you know, Grammy nominations will come from this. I mean, it is one of her finest work, and I like a lot how she's been kind of quiet ever since it came out, because I think she's just really proud and but also what you said, like, she doesn't really care what we think about it. Obviously she wants us to like it, right? But it's almost just, she's just like, I did what I needed to do. I'm good now. Yeah. I can rest easy. And I hope she does rest easy. She deserves a good night's sleep. There's also not like really any radio-y songs on this album.
And exactly.
So I'm interested. I know Fortnite's a single, but I mean, it's just not like a catchy TikTok hook type of song. I don't get that from too many. There's not really any of those moments. So on this album. So just another reason that she's just like, I don't care.
In the end, like, that's not what this album is about, differently than other ones. And I think that's also okay. I really think it's okay to celebrate art for the sake of needing to do it, not because of winning.
Absolutely.
And I'm really, really glad that maybe Taylor Swift could do that for once. Like, I feel like she's finally in a place where she could just be like, fuck it, I was in love. Like, I can just do that. And I can, you could cut out all your bitching and moaning.
You won't catch me bitching and moaning anytime soon, because I am very happy to have this album. The next step for me is to get really, really excited for the next Eras Tour performance in Paris, because I am so wondering what she's going to do.
Oh my gosh. But there's so much. Yes, put a pin in that conversation, because I want to know your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I need to think about my own thoughts. How is this going to translate to the Eras Tour if it does? And I think it does, but we'll find out. Sam, I think we need to close out this conversation.
Okay.
For now.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. I'm going to go listen to it some more. And I'll let you know next week what my new favorite song is. But it will have changed, I'm sure.
Yes. And everybody listening, Swiggies, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this album. Please let us know your thoughts. You guys, you can email us to swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok. And just let us know what y'all think. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well, please. And tell us your thoughts. Weigh in. And sorry I'm so exhausted, but Taylor just does that to me. So.
Oh, yes. And we have more to come. So stay tuned to our next episode maybe we'll get to those, eventually get over to the other side of this album and our thoughts and feelings on it. You know what? Like, these songs are heartbreaking, but we can do it with a broken heart. Okay? So.
Hell yeah.
Stay with
Hell
us.
Hell yeah, sister. Hell yeah, Taylor.
All right, Sam.
All righty. Till next time. Clink, clink.
Until next time.
Lights, clink, clink. Camera, bitch, smile.